You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
Okay. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. That's fishing. And so, for example, in our evangelism, we can decide as a team. Maybe the choir. What are we going to do? We're going to do evangelism. How are we doing it? Okay, so we set up some PA systems. We get some drums or something. What are we doing? We are just singing. And as we are singing, people are coming in. They are coming. It is not targeted. The evangelism is not targeted. All right? So we decide maybe we're going to a campus and we are reaching out to everybody there, to the hostel. So we just all go and we keep knocking. Hi, hello. And then we are talking to them. It is not targeted. All right? And then there are fish that we bring out from that place. You know, Jesus told Peter, Simon and his brother Andrew, he told them, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Why fishers of men? In eschatological language, we're talking about the language of the parousia, of the coming of Christ, the destruction of the world, okay? Apocalyptic language, like the language of Revelation, the language of Daniel, all right? That language, apocalyptic language, is in the Gospels. There are many of them like that. So, for example, he says, and you shall see the Son of Man coming down from the clouds of heaven. All right? That's apocalyptic language. And they use a lot of symbols to represent a lot of things. Now, in eschatological language, thalassa, which is the Greek word for sea, okay? Sea. And many times when you read in a Bible, in the New Testament, for example, when they tell you sea, it doesn't always mean sea. Sometimes it is a lake. Yes. Sometimes it is a lake. Sometimes it is it's just a water body. All right? And they call all of them sea. How do we know? How do we differentiate between the sea and then, you know, the ones that are actually not sea? We are able to know by the time, maybe by the location, and then we are able to know through maps, archaeology, to know which one was actually the sea that we know and which one was a lake or a different water body. So the Greek word thalassa, which is sea, okay, also in eschatological language represents evil. It's a place of evil. That is why when you read the book of Revelations, the dragon came out of the sea. Read the book of Revelations and you find out anytime any major was coming to the land, it came from the sea. Always came from the sea. It never came from under the earth. Never came from the sky. It was always coming from the sea. So that is the power of evil. All right? So the sea represents the place of evil, a world of the evil ones. All right, so when Jesus said to them, he said, come and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, trying to say that I will make you someone who will go into the darkness of the world and bring out those who are living in that evil world. That's what he meant. And fishing was such an important theme in the New Testament, so much so that it became the sign of Christians. You see, they couldn't use the cross because the cross was very obvious. So after Emperor Nero At the time of Emperor Nero, I'm trying to figure out how much I should go, but at the time of Emperor Nero, persecution, the first official state persecution started. And it was that particular persecution that gave birth to the book of Revelations. So a lot of times when we read the book of Revelations, he's talking about a certain form of persecution or talking about a certain kind of evil, he's actually mentioning that particular state and that particular time. All right? So during that time, it became difficult for you to identify yourself as one of the people who belong to the cross. And in those days, when they catch people and they were Christians, when they catch you, they tell you to confess. Now, also one of the reasons why when we go on evangelism, we tell people, confess the Lordship of Jesus. Okay? Because confession was a different thing altogether. Because you see, when Nero wanted to build a new city, Rome, they say Rome was not built in a day. Rome in those days, before Emperor Nero, was a wooden city. Everything was wood. And he wanted to build a glorious wall, concrete city that reflected his splendor. So how was he going to do it? Then the wood have to go. So it is like what some of it has been alleged that some of the market women and market men and some of the chiefs do. And then they will set the market on fire. And when they set the market on fire, the next thing you see that they come and put some kids around. So we are coming to build an ultra-modern market. Because you see, if they said the women move, they will not move. But once the market is bent, say, it is the wiring, the way they wire this thing. The way they wire the thing, we have to build ultra-modern something. So Nero wanted to do the same thing. So it is said that he got Rome bent. And it is said that whilst Rome was burning, Nero was on a mountain watching and playing music and enjoying himself. So it became in the city that it is Nana that did it. It was Caesar, okay? Caesar Nero that did it. And so how is he going to deflect attention from himself, blame from himself? Okay, we're going to blame the Christians. Because they are the ones that preach that their God is coming to destroy the world and he's coming to destroy it with fire. Okay? So the carpenter's people are the ones who destroyed our city. So they are enemies of the city. So we're going to punish them, but we're going to punish them in a very gruesome way. Do you know what they used to do? They used to use the bodies of Christians as candle light through the night. And so in the night, they would set up, by the grace of God, they've caught 20 Christians today from the special place. So they put one at this pole, put one here, and then there. Then they caught some also, maybe 10 from the Methodist Church. They aligned them like that. So on the street like that, you see the way you do street lights, eh? So it's human being they put. If you don't know, it takes a long time for the human body to actually burn to the ground. It takes a very long time. You will die quickly, but it takes a very long time to burn. So they burn them all through the night. They were the lights of that night. That's what they were doing. And so to be a Christian was very dangerous. So how were they, you know, evangelizing? How did they know each other? Because they used to have secret meetings. And they identified themselves by fish. Do you know why? Because Jesus told them, he said, you will be fishers of men. All right? So fish. And the Greek word for fish, okay, the Greek word for fish, ichthys. They divided them letter by letter to tell a story, a coded story. Okay, so ichthys, okay, which is the Greek word for fish. All right, they used it to represent Jesus, Christos, Tewu, Hios, Soter, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Okay, so that became the word. And so this is what they used to do. So someone will ask you, are you one of the fish? And when you say, yes, you understand it. Now you are a believer. What they used to do, maybe at a place, if they wanted to know if you are one of them, the person will intentionally draw half of the fish And if the other person also drew the other half, it means that you are one of them. And this is how they were fellowshipping together and putting themselves together as a church. So the concept of fishing was always well known to them. And they used it to organize themselves and to avoid being killed by the state. And I'm telling you that the concept of fishing is one concept that we use in evangelism. When we go out, when our evangelism is not specifically targeted to an individual, okay? But we are reaching out. We are reaching out. So like the scripture that we just read, okay? So it's like a net cast wide. We cast it wide. And all manner of fish comes in. The ones who are tribalistic, the ones who are quick-tempered, the ones who don't respect anybody, the ones who are rich, the ones who are poor, the ones who can read, the ones who can't read, all manner of them come in. We catch everything. We catch some of them that are actually trash. We catch them. We bring all of them. And then when we bring it on the shore, now we start dealing with them. Which ones can we use? Which one can we use? All right? So we do that. The hunting aspect of evangelism is when you are reaching out to somebody, but your outreach is targeted. It is specifically to a particular person. And so, and I do that a lot. I've been praying about. And I do that a lot. And I pray. So sometimes you know a particular person. And you know that this person must receive the Lord Jesus. So your prayer, so it's mostly somebody you know, or somebody you have an encounter with. Maybe it could be a boss, or maybe it could be a chief or something. People don't know how the Methodist Church, for example, in Ashanti region took everything, almost all the lands, all the prime lands in Ashanti region, the Methodist Church have them. All right? The reason is that when Freeman and Co., when they got to Ashanti area and they got to Kumasi, in their evangelism, they were able to win Prince Owusu-Ansa. And he was one of the then Asantehene's sons. They won him. And they were able to convince the royal, you know, the monarch that they will send him to Britain to go and study. And they agreed. But he became born again. So he went and he studied. And when he was coming, the Queen of England gave him a carriage for the Asantehene, and it is still there. And by winning him, they got a number of Asante chiefs. So that evangelism is targeted. It is a specific evangelism that we do. It is targeted. We target the individual for a particular reason. And so we carry that person in our prayer. We carry them in our spirit. The same thing happened, and we'll look at it very quickly. With Saul, as he was persecuting the church. You see, the writer of the book of Acts was very careful to tell us, you know, he was first mentioned to us, and then he left that part of the story. So he first mentioned him when he was causing chaos and havoc, when Stephen was being murdered. Okay? Saul was mentioned. So the first time he was mentioned was not in Acts chapter 9, but he was mentioned before as he was causing havoc. Bible said he was causing havoc. And he left the story and went ahead and told us another story and later on came back. No, what do you think was happening? As he was going about causing havoc, do you think the church just had their hands behind them? No. When you read Acts chapter 12, Bible said that when Herod, okay, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, and then he went ahead and he took Peter. What do you think the church was doing? Bible said that they said, but prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for him. It was targeted. That is how Herod died. That's how he died a very horrible death. Because the church was not quiet. He was doing something. And the same thing happened with Paul. With Saul, who later on became Paul. So we have the hunting. For hunting, they will tell you that when lions, for example, they prey on certain animals. And before they move, they already know which particular one they are going for. Now, when you are watching the documentary, it looks like they are doing it at random. No. Actually, no. So the most difficult of all the animals that lions prey on are the zebras. Because zebras, you see the way they look. So when they are together like that, it becomes very difficult for the lions to actually know which one is which. Where does this one start and that one start? So it's like a big mush of colors. So how do you know which one to go for? This is how lions hunt. They look into them and then they look for the one that has the maybe one anomaly. Maybe it has a certain, yellow spot. Has something. There has to be something on that particular one that makes that particular one distinct. Or maybe that one has a limp. Okay? Or that one is slightly taller than the rest of them. Or slightly shorter than the rest of them. So by the time the lions move, and you see all the zebras, they know the specific one they are going for. It is targeted. They don't play with that because they have one chance. And lions can go days without food. So it is targeted. And contrary to what you see when you watch the documentaries, there are many times they go on hunting and they come back with nothing. When humans go to hunt, and they want to hunt a big game, I don't know why they use that word game. But they say they're going to hunt a big game. Now, when they are going to hunt a big game, maybe there's a certain buffalo or something. I would say, oh, they say, Abobe Pia, how do they know? Sometimes they watch as the animal feeds. They've not actually seen the animal. So they go on hunt places that they have large forest areas. Okay? Sometimes it's like a week. And they are chasing that particular animal. And how do they do that? They watch as that particular animal feed. They know how the lips, how the effect that they leave on the leaves, their feces, their scent, they know it. And they follow the track of that particular animal. And many times, some of those animals are actually quite dangerous. And they know it. And so they are very, very careful. Maybe they are hunting for a mountain lion. They are very dangerous. You know what mountain lions can do? There are certain steep rocks, okay? Rocks that are very difficult to maneuver. Mountains that are very difficult to maneuver. They do very well there. Udinechi, ubewu. They will take it. The mountain itself will take care of you. So these animals, they're also smart. Because you see, ever since history, man has been hunting them. And they have also been hunting each other. So they know each other. And they know how to maneuver their way out. And so they take their time. So for a week, they get nothing. The most successful hunter fails most of the time. Most of the time you fail. The most successful hunter fails most of the time. And the most successful hunter always has a group. So you don't do it alone. Are you hearing me? You don't do it alone. There is somebody I have targeted. Daddy knows about it. Mommy knows about it. I know they carry that same passion in prayer. I know it. Sometimes you start the person off and then you lead the person to another person. So it is not by force that you must finish the game that same day. Whoever gave you that mentality about evangelism deceived you. It's not always a one-day affair. Sometimes it takes years. When you're chasing certain girls, I told you, chasing certain girls, it can get very difficult. Some of them, I'm going to pray about it. It's 2 years. And so when we are doing targeted evangelism, when we are hunting, okay, it takes time. There are a lot of rules, okay? There are a lot of patience that we do. You don't just shoot. Because you see, those who shoot, like the most dangerous games, there are some of them. God help you if you hurt them and you don't kill them. God help you. Huh? If you wound them without killing them, God help you. You don't try it. Certain animals, you are done. You are gone. So you don't shoot and miss. Huh? So they take their time. So sometimes they might even be at a very good position. But then just as you can't be close to them. So they know the range. So as they are watching, it's okay. But then they realize, okay, the direction of the wind. There's a possibility that the wind might change my angle a little bit. So I can't be sure. I can't shoot. Then they stop. Sometimes then they chase them again for another 2 days. So when we are doing evangelism, when our evangelism is hunting, we take time. And we work it. It is a project. And you carry that individual in your spirit. You carry them in your prayer. You carry them. Okay? You carry them. You carry them. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You don't stop. You don't give up. You keep doing it. You carry them in prayer. You carry them. You pray prayer of prophecy. If that is not working, you cry in your prayer. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, this brother. You cry. You cry. Huh? You cry. Oh, I pray certain prayers. Just when I'm about to start, I'm going to God in prayer, already preparing myself to cry. You know, so I am mastering the emotion to actually cry. You carry the person in your prayer. You keep doing it. It's targeted. So there's a brother that when I first got born again, he was my first targeted evangelism, my first hunting. Because I have known him for a very, very long time. And we used to do all manner of nonsense together. And so now that I was born again, I wanted him to also experience what I had come to experience. And I will invite this brother to come to church. That was all I could say. Inquiry. So I'll talk to him. Okay. So now finally he said, okay, I'll come. Saturday, I'll come and sleep at your place. So that the next day, we'll go to church together. Celebration, right? So I said, oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, you are faithful. This brother is coming. So in the night, so Saturday evening, he's coming to sleep at my place. And the next morning, we'll go to church. When he's coming with his girlfriend. He is coming with his girlfriend. And in our house, I was entitled to one room. Okay? So I moved from my bed. I had to put something on the floor. I'll sleep. And this guy and the girl will sleep on my bed. And they are not actually sleeping. Then the next morning, Charlie, let's go to church and say, Charlie, I'm tired. The girl didn't let me sleep. He did that to me for 4 weekends. Every weekend, this guy would do that. I kept praying. And I kept praying. I kept praying. So finally, I said, you know what? Stay at your house. On Sunday morning, I'll come there very early. We'll come to church. And he said, okay. Then, finally, he decided he was going to come. And we were having a youth program. So that was, you know, quite, you know. So it was easier for him to come. I went to the house to go and pick him. They said, oh, why don't you know he has been arrested? He was in a fight, beat up somebody, the person got him arrested. So I'm going to take him to church. I had to go to the police station, buy him food and all of that, and we laughed about it. Today he's a pastor. He's a pastor. And so it's like that. It's a project. Are you hearing me? It's a project. You want your evangelism to be very simple? Make up your mind this way. I'm not going out on evangelism. I'm going to make a friend. Because many times when we say make evangelism, so immediately no na certain shake ne a yibia about him. So you're going to go through a certain methodological thing. And if you are not as skillful as certain people, certain people have done it for a very long time. Okay, so they know they can start from here. So Psalm 119, verse 4. Minya, it's who kind honor. What's he saying? They can do it. They carry the message like that, and then they will finish it like right there and finish and then get there. This way. If we are very honest, most of the times when we preach to about 20 people, the one that actually comes and stay, most times you won't even get up to two. Because there is not enough substance. Enough relationship is not built. It's not built. It doesn't have a lot of foundation. But here is it. So I'm going out. Yes, it's evangelism, but I'm going to make a friend. And so as I go to meet the person, because in my mind, I am going to make a friend, all of my conversations are geared towards that particular person. I want to know the person. I want to know him. I want to know her. I want to talk to him. I want to leave a certain kind of impact. And sometimes I won't finish the job that day, but it is pinned. I spend more time on one person, but it is pinned. It takes more time to do. What I'm saying, it actually takes more time to do. You are making a friend. You are taking a genuine interest in that person. As we studied last Sunday with Jesus and a Samaritan woman, he took genuine interest in her. All right? Genuine interest in her. And all of his interaction with her was filled with respect and dignity and honor that you give to somebody. And you can't fake these things. You know, hunting evangelism is more difficult to do, okay, if you don't regard a person. It's more difficult to do. It's more difficult to do. So there has to be a genuine sense of respect and honor coming from you. You can't fake it. When you are preaching, you can fake respect. Preach, you are done. You're gone. You are gone. But we are actually going to relate with the person from time to time, every day. You're going to relate with the person. If you are thinking of the person actually being a member of this special place family. Okay, so that's always the target. I am not looking for somebody I'm preaching to, but I'm actually reaching out to somebody who would be maybe the next person playing the keyboard. Okay? Or would be Pastor Jesh. Or would be Pastor Zaya in some years to come. Okay? So I am bringing in somebody who is going to contribute to our mission. So this person is also now, later on, will also turn into a hunter. Not just a fisher. And fishing, there's a place for fishing. There's a place for fishing. Sometimes we don't have the time. And then we have so many people. Jesus told us that we should spread the gospel everywhere. And so when we get on a bus and we preach, we talk to them, we preach. Or maybe we do, so we're doing outreach. So we're going to UPSA campus or UPSA hostel or Heaven's Gate hostel. Okay, or we're going to the University of Ghana to go and do this mass evangelism. Or we're going to this market square. Or we are standing at Shiashi. Or we are going out like that. We spread. For the kingdom of God is like a man who took seed and just threw it out. And said, all manner fell everywhere. He says, some fell by the roadside. Some fell among thorns. Some among rocks. He said, but some of them fell on good soil. But when we are doing targeted evangelism, when we are doing hunting, most often, by the grace of God, it falls on the good soil. It may appear that the land is hard at the surface, but we keep digging. We keep digging. We keep digging. We keep digging. We don't lose it. We keep doing it. because we are targeting. What we are doing is targeted. We have a specific goal and we are pursuing it. Targeted. Our evangelism, our soul winning should produce results. Look at Jesus. As he called his disciples, you see Nathaniel, you see Philip, Andrew, for example, when we read in St. John's Gospel chapter 1, Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. And as he spoke about Jesus, they left him. He said, okay, if you are not the one, then I better follow the main one. That's the reason why, sidebar, that's the reason why sometimes I don't understand. If you say, okay, friend, say, oh, say Jesus, okay, Jesus, in prayer. I'll tell the mother, and then the mother tell him. But this guy said, okay, oh, you're not the main one. He is the main one. Okay, so they left and then they went to follow Jesus. But how did Peter come? Jesus reached out to him. Reached out to him. And when he finished, he told him, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I have come to hunt for you. Now I'm going to make you one who is going to fish for others. It's targeted. And God did that. Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 9. From verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul still breathing threats and met still breathing threats. So I told you, I said, St. Luke, who wrote Acts of the Apostles, already hinted us about him. The guy was mentioned and he was left out. No. Something was happening. He just didn't know. There's a reason why Jesus arrested him. Huh? There's a reason why Jesus arrested him. Some of you, you think the change that happened in your life just happened. When Empire Yabodo also. Oh boy. You are serving the church at this guy's place. It didn't just happen. I carry people. In fact, you see, I carry my emotions when I'm praying. Okay, I carry my emotions. So what I actually think about you. When I'm praying, it shows. Oh God, Sister Mary, nonsense. I tell Jesus. If you are too much concerned, you know, there are certain people, as soon as they come to you, they want to discuss somebody. I don't like that. So if you like that too much, I tell Jesus. Jesus, this sister, she's concerned too much. I tell Jesus. Tell him. Amen. So, Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way. So at this time, the church, Christianity, was called the way. It was in Antioch that they started calling them Christians. All right, and even that one, it was actually a derogatory term. They were going to use it to mock them, but they used to call them the way. Okay, all right, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and you will be told what to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank.
Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he answered, get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some foods, he regained his sight. That was the verse 19. So, this guy who had been causing havoc, God was watching him. And he kept doing that. And God was watching him. I remember some time ago, we had a sister in church. And I was leading our youth ministry. And this sister was very troublesome. I think that was when I started learning how to tell Jesus the nonsense some people are doing at church. That's when I learned it. This sister will come. So our youth services were on Tuesdays. And she would not come early. That's the first thing. She would not come early. And we used to close at 8 o'clock. When the time is 8:02, she will not get up to leave. She starts talking from the crowd. You, we are not serious. You just play people's time like that. She came late. So this is how kept doing that. And I kept observing that. And I was getting angry in my spirit. And I went to report it to my pastor. And pastor said, so are we going to sack him? Sack her? No. And the pastor said, why don't you fast and pray for her? So I fasted for a week. And I was praying. I was fasting and praying over her. Oh, Jesus. She is very troublesome. She caused a lot of chaos at church. Oh, Jesus. And I kept praying over her. Within a short while, she will be the first person to come to youth service. She will come and arrange the chairs. Huh? She will come and arrange the chairs. Even when we close, if you don't take care, she still wants to talk to you before the crowd. So something was happening with Brother Saul. He didn't know. So he went for his documents and he was going for the church. And on his way, Bible said that something like light, I was reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It says something like light, okay, fell around him. So it wasn't that the light was thrown at him. No, it fell around him. Light became like entoma. Are you hearing me? You know entoma? Good. All right, so it became like a cloth, piece of cloth, and fell around him. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? He said, oh Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. When he was touching the church, he thought he was touching some people who didn't have any cover. No, me, if you touch me, I have a cover. I have a cover, big cover. If you touch me, I have big cover. All right? So they did that. So Jesus told him. And then Jesus said, get up, go to the city. Okay, I'll show you what to do. And he was there for 3 days, not eating anything. And he couldn't see. He was blinded. The same people who were with him having authority notes, those people carried him. And now he was weak. He was without power because now he couldn't even effect his own paper. That would have been enough. The threat had been taken away. We would have used it as testimony in church. Oh, that brother, God has arrested him. Ne ne fra nyame de wo didi di agro oh nyame she.
And so whilst he was there fasting and praying, Bible said that there was a man called Ananias. And Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Hey, you know what? I did something for you guys 3 days ago. I've arrested that guy."
He said, "I've heard of that guy. He's causing problems. He has even gone for paper." Jesus said, "You think I don't know?" He said, "Go and minister to him."
He said, "Go and minister to him so that he will receive his sight." But if you remember what we read, Bible said when Ananias went there, he told him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you has sent me. He said to come and to pray for you so that you receive your sight and receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus didn't even tell him that. Jesus didn't say, "Go and give him the Holy Spirit." But Ananias understood that he has an opportunity. So it is hunting. All right? So sometimes when you are hunting, when you're going to catch chicken, when we're young, you know, we used to have chicken in our homes. And during Christmas, they'll say, "Go and catch that chicken." And some of the chickens, they are very stubborn. Some of them, to catch them is very, very difficult. So we are running around like that. We run. Somebody pass here, and then the chicken will fly sometimes. And sometimes we do what, and then we corner the chicken in a certain corner. Like, we just get him like that in a certain corner. So, So there's a corner. So, ofa left, yatino. So near the Ura Edan and the question, because now the game is ready. Now it is ready. So we target the person. Okay? So it may start this Saturday. You may meet somebody, a brother or a sister. You target her. You target him. Maybe when you met him, he said he didn't have time.
Only time, oh.
Oh, please, can I just get your number? I just want your number. Just your number. Just your number. We'll just talk. You don't have time, just your number. And you carry the person in prayer. And when the game is ready, shoot it. When the game is ready, we catch it. And that's what he did. Ananias was so wonderful. He said, "He has sent me to also give you the Holy Spirit." And after that time, Saul was not the same. He was baptized. And then he started preaching. Started preaching. He became something else. So what have we learned? Two ways of evangelizing: fishing and hunting. When we fish, very necessary. Because sometimes we need a larger pool. Okay, we need a larger pool of people so that we can start targeting some of them. So we stretch out, not knowing what is going to come. And we do that. Whatever comes, you know, some of them will not be useful. We let them go. But for hunting, we must be precise. So we target a particular individual. And we are working on that person. And we keep doing it. This is the way to win MPs, to win chiefs, to win CEOs, to win police officers, to win people of different, you know, caliber, great people of this world to our Lord Jesus. There's a way to do it. It's many times. But we target people like that and we keep doing it until we see the light of God shining upon them. We are intentional about it. 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 We don't just do it. We know whom we are targeting. And we know why. We know why. We carry the person in prayer. We carry the person all the time. Sometimes we just call the person out of the blue. Just call him. "Oh, brother, oh, it's nothing. I was just calling to check on you." Sometimes we can relate to the person for a very long time. We've not even talked about Jesus. Do you know how to win Muslims?
You don't win Muslims by starting from John chapter 3 verse 16. And all of them deserve the gospel. How do you do that? I have some Muslim friends, Hakim. The first time they saw me, they didn't even want to talk to me because they heard I was a pastor. They didn't even want to talk to me. After spending 3 hours in their room, they were calling me big brother. And they are still my targets. It's been years, they are still my targets. And I'm not going to spook them off. Because sometimes when you show your hand so fast, when you show that you are harmful, when you watch those videos from Europe and the US and you will see rabbits and squirrels and all those animals just playing around people, they are just playing around. Do they do that in Africa? Because, but is it not the same human beings? They know that the rabbits in Africa, they know. Oh, they know. Huh? The birds in Africa, they know that they are in danger. They know it. They know that they are in danger. Okay, they know it. But over there, they're just playing around. They're just playing around. So they can just jump on you. You know, when you're sitting, they will just come and sit. If we carry all the people at a shy man and put them in Amsterdam, or maybe take them to London, it's going to be a different thing. Why? Because you see, over there, they feel so safe. And so sometimes all we need is to get them to feel so safe around us. So safe. So, he's a very safe brother. He's a very safe sister. Oh, this person, I can even... And then, by the time you realize, she's actually started telling you, do you know what? I am on certain websites and I do hookup. And then they start telling you things. I'm in organizations. I'm a lesbian. People don't know this about me. And then they start opening up. They start bringing those things. Now you have the opportunity to deal with the real issues. That is why hunting and evangelism is so important. Now we get to the real stuff. Now we get to the real evil. Now the real evil appears. And we deal with it. Deal with it. Bow down your heads. Bow down your heads in prayer. Oh, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have equipped us. You have equipped us with patience and wisdom. You have equipped us with patience and wisdom to masterfully win the world unto you. As we go out telling everybody about you. As we go out telling everyone about you. You are bringing them. You are bringing them. You are bringing them. None is left out. None is left out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.